We're turning to Psalm 65 this evening, and verse 2, a very famous verse for many Bible students, though one that is very full. Psalm 65, verse 2, speaking of God, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Well, just a few words here this evening, my friends. I don't know if I will overburden you tonight. There's so much in just these few words. And will you forgive me if I repeat this text? I want you to go home with it ringing in your heart and something of what it means. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Well, let me say this first. It is prayer that saves. It is prayer that will bring us eternal life. It is prayer that will bring us into a new relationship with God. Oh, friends, we know that it is the gospel that saves us. We know it is by repentance and faith that we can find salvation. We know it is by seeking God we can know his wonderful salvation. But we have to say this, prayer is what brings salvation. Without prayer, there can be no eternal life. Without an approach to God, we shall never find him. Why, we were thinking this last week, how we need to pray, and how often we think to ourselves, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what words to bring to our God. Well, we won't trouble ourselves too much with that at the beginning of our thinking here tonight, but we must understand this. It is prayer that saves. And so we want to ask ourselves a question. What do we really know about prayer? We might come up with a long list of things. We might find there's even biblical teaching that sort of rings around in our minds. And we might come up with many answers to say, well, I know this about prayer and I know that about prayer. But friends, what do we really know about prayer? What do we really know about approaching God in our own hearts? What do we really know about getting on our own, perhaps in our homes, when there's no one else listening, only God, and crying out to him and asking for forgiveness and salvation and many other things? What do we really know about prayer? Are we experiencing prayer? I think at the end of my life, I shall have to have a very great regret when it comes to prayer. When I think back of how poorly I've prayed over the years, well, I don't want to be personal here tonight, but I think that's the experience of many experienced Christians. They've come to the end of their lives and they think to themselves, what do I really know about prayer? What do I really know about approaching God? What do I really know about asking God for a certain important matters concerning my life? And how have I had faith believing these things? And have I sought God in a fervent way? And how much of my prayer has been empty repetition? How much of my prayer has just been words? They haven't got further than the ceiling. I'm not sure that God has even heard such prayer. And how much of my prayer has been selfish prayer, purely for myself? How much prayer have I rendered for others? And so I ask all those questions, and we ask them personally, and Christians ask themselves such questions, but non-believers also. We ask, well, what do we know about prayer? We have to say, of course, as we read here, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. That prayer is the ultimate form of communication. Why, in this modern world, of course, there's so much spoken of communication, so much technical stuff concerning communication. Now with the mobile phone being changed almost every 6 months to something ultra modern, and we find that the way in which man communicates with man via satellites and all sorts of ways, and then thinking of language and thinking of studies in linguistics and all sorts of other languages that you can't actually speak, computer language. Well, communication, of course, is an amazing thing. Without it, nothing really would run. Society would just break up. How could a hospital run without communication from doctors and nurses, from patients to ward clerks and secretaries? How could there be any a hospital, such a complex unit such as that? How could there be any real hospital work without communication to ancillary workers and all sorts of things? Well, you can imagine, just wouldn't work unless there was communication. That's just one thing. But friends, the whole of society, the whole of the world, it couldn't work without communication. But our friends, We see in our Bibles that prayer is the ultimate form of communication. This is where we speak, not with one another, but where we speak with God. And God can in turn speak to us through his word. But here is where we shoot out a message to God. Here is where we can articulate the thoughts of our minds and of our hearts and speak to that God in heaven that hears prayer and to whom all flesh can approach. Oh, friends, this is the ultimate form of communication. Let's think about prayer here this evening. Do you know God is constantly listening to prayer? That's what we're told here in this verse. O thou that hearest prayer. A whole world of prayer going up to God, and he is listening to all that prayer. Everyone can approach him. To thee shall all flesh come. Oh, friends, everyone can approach him. Millions never do. Millions in this world never offered up any real prayer to God. But then millions have, and they have known answer to prayer and blessing and help, and they believe such a verse as this. Have we ever really approached God? Really prayed to him? Are we amongst those that have, those that are in human flesh, come to our God, know that he hears our prayer and come to him with real prayer? Or are we one of those millions that have never really come to grips with prayer, never really offered to God some communication, some feeling of our heart, some note of worship, some request in desperate situation? Oh, friends, here we have the text to help us. Do you know, many pray with themselves. The Lord Jesus spoke of a notable instance of that, of a Pharisee, so full of pride, went to the temple, and really he was just uttering all the things that he thought he was good at. He never once really prayed to God. He was praying with himself. Well, such prayer is nothing. If we come to God just preoccupied with ourselves, that's not real prayer. Or many pray to a figment of their imagination. Of course, this is what the heathen have done in time past, as they've come to stocks and stones and prayed to them. But others also, they've made up their own God in their mind. Some thought, some mixture of religion, some idea that they've had that no one else has, really quite the same as them, but they think that they can pray to this God. Well, but there is a God. There is a God who hears prayer, and to whom we can come. Why should we look for another? Why should we concoct some sort of God that we can pray to? Why should we pray to ourselves? We're never going to help ourselves. We're not strong enough. We're not brave enough. We're not courageous enough. We haven't the power or the understanding or knowledge to come to answers to our prayers. What's the point of praying to ourselves? But here is a God to whom we can come, who hears prayer. Friends, why should we turn away from him, or that we might approach this God? You know, prayer is something whereby we come to God. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We must come to God. We must approach him. This must be real. This must be sincerity. Of course, we wouldn't come to a God we didn't believe in. We wouldn't utter prayers in our minds silently or articulate them in heard words unless we believe that there was such a being. But all, we must come to him sincerely and often, and indeed before we are saved, we must come urgently. We must approach him. We must be deliberate. We must be deliberate. To thee shall all flesh come. It is a deliberate moving towards God and speaking to him and asking of him. This is what prayer is all about. Do we know anything about such prayer? You know, of course, as I asked you earlier, do you know anything about prayer? Well, we would say that prayer is supplication. Prayer is entreaty. Prayer is asking. Of course, it is a request. We come to God and we ask for something. Well, of course, there is prayer, there is worship, whereby we express in our hearts that we believe that God is great and greatly to be praised. But generally speaking, prayer, as we see it here in this verse, is an approach to God where we're asking for something. We're making an inquiry. Of course, the Lord Jesus spoke often of prayer. He spoke on one wonderful occasion, and he gave us three memorable words so that we might understand what prayer is all about. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. Wow, This is what prayer is all about, friends. It is the asking of God. It is a seeking of God for certain important things. It is a knocking, showing you the urgency of something, where we want God, as it were, to open a door and bless us in so many ways. So prayer is a supplication. It is a request, an inquiry. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come, asking, seeking, knocking. Oh, friends, you can see from these words that this is humility. This is humility. This is a turning to our God. Well, of course, the proud will not seek this God. The proud will not even believe in his existence. The proud will think that they can do themselves so much better than asking this God. So when we read, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come, we understand this is all humility. This is a battle against pride. Pride will not ask. And our friends, you can see also this is the condescension on God's part. He is so high and we are so low. He is so holy and we are so sinful. He is so great and glorious and majestic. And we're nothing. Nothing at all compared to him. And so when we read here that he is one, that he is prayer, and that all flesh needs to come to him, well, this is humility. We must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and seek him in prayer. Of course, this is great condescension on God's part, that he should listen to the whimperings, as it were, of his creatures that have got themselves into so much trouble, that are in such a state because of their sin, that rebelled against him. But God, in his glorious love and mercy, is the one that will hear our prayers. Oh, friends, we know that we are created. We know and have an instinctive link with our Almighty. That's why we read here that he is the one that heareth prayer. The psalmist understood it. He understood that he was a creation of God, and he knew that all flesh should come to God and seek his blessing and his help. You know, true atheism is very rare. It's very rare in times of great fear, and in times of great need, and in times of desperation, people pray. We have often said, you don't hear of anyone being an atheist on a plane that is plunging into the ocean. Everyone's praying in some way. Oh, friends, we know that God is a God that hears prayer, and everyone knows it instinctively in their hearts and should come to him. But in despair, we pray. In loneliness, we pray. In war, many have prayed. In sickness, in dangerous sickness, people have prayed. In sin, in their wretchedness, in their filthiness, in their feelings of guilt, they've prayed and they've asked God to forgive them and to make them clean. In all these situations, people pray. They pray. Why? Why do they pray? Why do they cry out to God? Well, because they know that this is instinctive. They know that they have a link, as it were, with their Creator, that he made them and placed them in this world, that they might seek after him. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. This is our great instinct, though we will not admit it often. It is that he is a good God. And we seldom pray in hate, where there are those that have held up their fists to God and shouted offensive words to God. But really, that's not prayer. Of course it's not. It's the very opposite. It's the running away from God. It's the cowardly thing. Of course that is the case for those that have come to understand, even in a small, a tiny way, that God is the God that hears prayer, and that we must come to him. They instinctively know that he is a good God, and he will answer our prayers according to his will and his purposes for us. Oh, friends, at the day of judgment, then we should call out to him, but it will then be too late. It will be too late. All flesh will come to him then, no doubt about it, but there will be no answers to prayer on that occasion. All the praying that we must do must be in this world while we're still in the body. Before we quit this world, we must pray. There will be praise in heaven, but we will have all that we need, gloriously met, all our needs through all eternity. There will no be any need to ask God for anything, at least as far as I can see. But our friends, in heaven, it will be all praise and glory to God. But now we must pray. Now we must seek the Lord. Now we must come to this God that hears prayer. And this is the one to whom all flesh must come. Oh, friends, do you see that? We must come to him in prayer before that final day. And all friends, we all have the same opportunity to come to him. The same opportunity to come to the Saviour in repentance. To thee shall all flesh come. We need to come to him. We need to see that we are in the same position as everyone else in this world. And God will receive our prayers if we're sincere. And if we seek him diligently, if we mean what we say. And we are urgent in our desire that he should come and do us good. Oh, friends, we will realise that this world cannot help us. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Not to anyone else in this world. Not to any other thing in this world. Not to any other technology. Not to any other health, food, diet. Not to any doctor that might prescribe something to keep us going a little while. No, no. We must realise that this world cannot help us. And then we'll pray. And then we'll come to this God that hears prayer. We shall come to him. We will come to the Lord and acknowledge his superiority. We will acknowledge that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he is the only one with the power and the inclination to help us spiritually. No one else can save us. Only this God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, you see, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We know that there are such things as useless prayer. Useless prayer. You know, the Apostle Paul, the great apostle that brought so many others to the Lord, under the Lord's hand. Before he was converted, he prayed several times a day. If he was in Jerusalem, he'd be in the synagogue or in the temple, and he would pray several times a day before he was converted. But you know, his first real prayer was on that road to Damascus, when he asked the Lord what he should do. And there he repented of his sin and trusted in the Saviour. All his prayer before that, it was all useless. It was all words. It didn't mean anything. Oh, God, listen to it. But there was no faith attached to it. There was no real urgency concerning his need of salvation. It was all useless. And there are, friends, presumptuous prayers that will not be heard or answered. Come to God and say, Lord, you should do this for me. Lord, you should do that. Lord, I want this and I want that. You know, I have been in one or two services over the years, if you could call them services, where there has been a preacher, where there has been a very worked up congregation. There's been one of those preachers with, I don't know, it must be a plastic Bible, the way he shakes it about and the pages don't come out, I don't know. But there he is, and he would say, I told God to do this, and I told God to do that, and he answered my prayer, and he did this, and he did that. Friends, I can't believe such a thing for one moment. God does not answer presumptuous prayer. We cannot tell God what to do. But oh, what do we hear here? Here is a God that answers prayer, that we can come to him just quietly. Just humbly, and just cry out to him from our heart's depth and say, Lord, come and help me. You know, one of the shortest prayers is found in the Psalms. I can't remember which one it is. It's just this. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. That's it. That's it. Meaning such a thing. This God who hears prayer will hear such a prayer as that. Come and help me, Lord. Oh, we must pray. We must pray, but not presumptuous prayers. We must not be self-confident. As we come and full of pride, we mustn't say to God, look, look what a fine fellow I am. Look what a good wife I've been. Look at all the good things I've done, Lord. Shouldn't it be that now I have a bit of reward in this life, a bit of easing of the problems, even some monetary gain? Oh, friends, we can't come to God like that. We see here in this verse, O thou that hearest prayer. Not such notions as that, as coming to God in some self-confident way. No, we come to him with contrite hearts, humbly, repentant, seeking God, knowing that anything he gives us will be of grace, undeserved. The very opposite of what we deserve. We must come humbly before him. We must acknowledge his greatness and his holiness. O thou that hearest prayer, Do you know anything of this one that hears prayer? He is the great and glorious God with almighty power that created this universe and sustains it to this day. Also the Holy God. The Holy God, the one who is pure, the one who is perfect, the one who cannot abide sin. We must come humbly to him in that way, and we must acknowledge his greatness and his holiness, and we must acknowledge our sin and our failure, that we must acknowledge as we come to this God in prayer, this one that hears prayer, that we are sinful, that we are those that have rebelled against him, those that have lived their lives for many a year without any real thought of him, any care of what he desires in our lives, any thought of real worship and love. We must come in this sort of way. Unrepentant prayers are of no use. We must pray and confess our sins. We must confess that we are sinners. If we don't, God won't listen to us. He won't listen to our prayer. He is the one that hears all prayer, but he won't answer it unless we come repentant to him. Oh, we must show by our prayers even, and by the things that we say, that we understand that we need a saviour. We need a saviour. We need someone to save us and forgive us for our sins. We need someone to come and bring Christian conversion to our lives, that we might know him and walk with him and know his blessing, and especially the blessing of answered prayer. You know, unspiritual prayers will not be answered. God will never answer selfish, unholy prayers. We must have spiritual concerns first. Of course, God knows we need ordinary things, and we ask and for our daily bread, of course. But first of all, we must come to him with spiritual concerns and desires. We must pray for conversion. We must pray that the Lord will change our lives and our hearts. We must pray that the Lord will make us his children of the living God, to walk with him and to know his blessing. We must come to him with spiritual concerns, concerned about our sin, concerned about our spiritual ignorance, concerned about the fact that we're not sure whether we're his, concerned about the fact that we have hell, as it were, hanging over us. These must be our spiritual concerns and our inability to change ourselves. We must come to God in prayer with these enormous concerns for spiritual blessing and help. Our friends, this is how we need to come. We must pray for a new life. We must pray for assurance that we belong to the Lord. We must pray for guidance in these spiritual matters, that we find salvation. We must pray for spiritual wisdom, understanding of the plan of salvation, and prudence to put it into place in our lives, to trust in the Saviour. And unbelieving prayers, they won't be answered. We must realise that God is holy, and he is our only hope of spiritual life. And we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Our friends, we must believe his word. We must believe his promise as we come to pray. We must believe the gospel of good news, that salvation can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and by his death on the cross. We must believe so as to obey him. Oh, thou that hearest prayer, I come to thee, and I believe that thou art. And Lord, I come wanting to believe all thy promise and thy word and be obedient to thee. And so I come. This must be our approach to God in prayer. Oh, friends, we must believe him in this way. And our prayers on our part must have a pledge. They must have a promise on our part. Otherwise, our prayers won't be answered. Oh, friends, we must promise God something. We must promise God something. They are not something whereby God bargains with us. Of course not. But this is the God that hears prayer, to whom we must come. And friends, you can see that such prayer must be that we are asking God for certain things. But there must be some response on our part. Oh, we must pray and promise God that with his wonderful help, we will be his. We will be his. We will live for him. We will do his will. Our friends, can't you see that that's what this text is all about? Oh, thou that hearest prayer, I come to thee, Lord. There's so many things that I need, so many spiritual concerns that I have. Oh, my great need is salvation. My great need is the forgiveness of my sins. My great need is that I'm headed for a lost eternity in hell, separated from thee for all eternity. But come, Lord, come, answer my prayer. I come to thee. I am but flesh and blood. I am a creation of thine, and I come to thee, and I pray to thee. But, O Lord, if thou wilt come and do me good, then I will be thine. Forgive me my sins, and I will seek to live to thy glory. O Lord, come, grant to me everlasting life, and I will live for thee in this life. Oh, do you see it, friends? There must be a yielding up of our lives to the Lord as we come to him in prayer. As all flesh comes to him in such a way as we've sought to describe here tonight, there must be a giving of ourselves to him. Lord, I come to thee in prayer. I am thine. Do with me as thou wilt. Come, bless me with forgiveness and salvation. Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ did something to open up a communication between us and our God. That was that cross on which he died. We read of it here this evening. There he opened up the way to God. And one of the ways in which he opened up the way to God was that we can communicate truly with this one that hears prayer, to whom all flesh shall come. And thousands and thousands and thousands have discovered the truth of that as they have come believing in the Saviour, trusting in what he did upon the cross to save them from their sin, bearing the penalty of their sin so that they wouldn't have to bear it for all eternity. And what have they found? That instantly they have seen that he is the God to whom all flesh shall come. He is the God that hears prayer and answers it. Oh, friends, we must come to this God. We must pray. We must seek him. We must ask him. We must knock at his door, as it were, and ask for him for spiritual blessings, blessings to do with salvation. What do we know about prayer, friends? What do we know about prayer? I've said much tonight, far too much for you to take in. But can you not just take in just a small part that makes us see and makes us understand, that even shakes us up to say, I must approach this God. This God who is real, this God who hears prayer, and I must come to him in a real way. I must get on my own, even as I return home from church perhaps tonight, and seek him and blessing, the blessing of his forgiveness and his salvation. Our friends, we must pray. We must. Oh, can we not come to this glorious, wonderful God who hears prayer and to whom all flesh shall come? Let's pray together.